Father, I just thank you for your praise and worship. I thank you for the song Rescue. I thank you for your daughter who sings it. I thank you, Father God, that each and every person that came out this morning, they are so hungry and thirsty for you. They are reaching out to you, Father God, in your promises. And Father, I believe with every fiber of my being that you are fulfilling each one of those promises, even as we sit in your presence this morning. And Father, I thank you for your angelic host. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, please don't lose hope right now. Don't ever lose hope as far as that goes. But there's so many things going on around about you and around about us. And we just need to trust God, believe God for each and everything he's ever promised us, because it surely is coming to pass. And I hope that whenever you sing that song, Raise a Hallelujah, that you really understand what that song is all about. I've been singing that song for 4 days, 4 days and 4 nights. And, you know, I know why I'm singing it, because I'm interceding for some members of my family. But I'm not singing it on purpose. I just realize I'm singing that song. And, you know, I keep that the part that goes up from the ashes. And, you know, so God's let me know that even though it looks like everything's, you know, bad, up from the ashes comes hope and new life. So we're all in this together. There's not a one of us that is not being fought tooth and nail. And we just need to hold each other up in prayer. Hold each and every person's hands. And God's going to see us through this whole thing. You know, I was reading where it said that America has become a nation of lawlessness. And then right away I heard that scripture, lawlessness will abound. And when I looked up that whole scripture, you know, when it's coming towards the end of times, lawlessness will abound. And if you read some of the stuff that's going on in the news, it's, you just have to sit and shake your head, because you would never, ever thought that we'd ever see that kind of stuff going on. And people are just going crazy, saying things they shouldn't be saying, doing things they shouldn't be doing. And we as Christians, we have to keep our heads. We have to be a source of courage and strength for others. And we just have to quietly pray. You know, God didn't tell us to go out there and get a microphone and scream it to the mountains. You know, we just have to quietly pray for those that are around about us, you know, who are going through troubling times and maybe don't even look like they're saved. We aren't supposed to go beat them on the head with that. We just pray. And we have a brother in here this morning who's really has some infirmities in his body, and I'm just believing that God will heal him, the crown of his head, the soles of his feet, and he will walk in that newness of life and in that healing and just not talk about it, but I actually walk in it. And I was praying during praise and worship, but God, let that healing that you promised you're bringing back in the house of God, let it happen today. And we each need to be praying that God, you know, just crying out to God, bring that healing power, because there's so many in the body of Christ that are sick and they really need that. How many of you watched that Todd White, is that his name, Todd White, video that Brother Chris told you to watch? Sister Grace sent it to me. I do know Todd White. I do watch a lot of his videos. And that man, if you notice, he was drastically saved. You know, he just wasn't one of those come into church and said, I give your heart to you, Lord. God touched him in a mighty way. And then God really anointed him to go forth with that gifting of miracles and signs and wonders. And he's out there doing the work of the Father, because he knows from whence he came. This morning, God wants to talk about fortitude. Fortitude refers to strength in the face of adversity or difficulty. And people who have fortitude are described in an admiring way for their courage. And this word comes from the Latin word fortitudio, meaning, I was looking for Astrid, she's laying on the floor, meaning strength. So fortitude refers to strength in the face of adversity or difficulty. And so God is going to talk to us this morning about fortitude, because we definitely do need that. And Isaiah 40:31 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." What does it say? "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." You have to be waiting on the Father to move on your behalf. God says, "My little ones, from this day forth, you must concentrate on your fortitude in me," you know, your strength in God. "You must at all costs understand that I will strengthen you, and I will bring you forth through every trial and tribulation that you encounter." Let's read this again. It's very important that you get this in your spirit. "My little ones, from this day forth, you must concentrate on your fortitude in me. You must at all costs understand that I will strengthen you, and I will bring you forth through every trial and tribulation that you encounter." God said, "The days of idly sitting by and allowing me to do all the works is over." And by that I mean you must show some initiative that you are trusting in me. God said, "You can no longer lay back on your laurels and say, 'So be it.'" God said, "I will strengthen you as you step forward in faith to accomplish the works that I have called you forth to do. There is a works that you need to do, and you cannot do it by sitting idly by and expecting me to do it for you. If that was the case, I wouldn't need your vessels to work through." So what did he say? "You can no longer lay back on your laurels and say, 'So be it.'" In other words, all right, God, you said this is what I'm going to do, so I'm just going to sit here and wait for you to use me. He says, "I will strengthen you as you step forward in faith to accomplish the works that I've called you forth to do." All right, now you guys are out on the streets. You're stepping forth in faith, doing the things that God has called you forth to do. If you're witnessing to your family, you're stepping out there in faith, and you're doing the things that God has called you forth to do. And if God has called you on a special ministry and it hasn't started yet, well, don't get excited about it, that it hasn't happened yet, but just keep praising and thanking God, and in every opportunity you get, tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Amen. God said, "All the saints in my word worked, and they went forth in my strength and did a perfect works for me. My son Jesus went forth in my perfect works, and he accomplished exactly what he was sent forth to accomplish." God said, "I so desire for you to understand that you do have a set works to accomplish for me, and you must be about the Father's business while there is still day, for night is soon coming when no man can work." And then that's in John 9:4-5. While it is daytime, we must continue doing the works of the one who sent me. The night is coming, and no one can work at night. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Let's just stop there. You know, Todd White, God anointed him, and he went forth and did the works. Jesse Duplantis was in the bathroom. God touched him, anointed him. He went forth and did the mighty works. If you read the people in the Word of God that does the mighty works, it's all because God touched them and sent them. And see, our part is, if you haven't been touched and sent, then your part is to still stay in the presence of the Father, still be seeking His face about what He wants you to do. Don't just sit by and say, "Well, whenever it's going to happen, it's going to happen." You don't know when God wants it to happen. So if you're showing God, "I really want to do this work, Father," then He's going to come and He's going to speak to you, and He's going to anoint you, and He's going to send you. But as long as you have doubt and unbelief within you, He can't send you. And if you have sin in your life, He can't send you. I mean, when he touched Todd White, what did Todd White do? He immediately went to a rehab, got himself straightened out, and worked for God, right? And when he touched Jesse Duplantis did the very same thing. He gave up his drugs. He gave up, you know, he had a big band. He gave up all that and just started following God. Now, did he immediately become a saint? No, because I remember reading where he said, no, I heard him say, he was working on his trailer one time after he was saved, and he had a broken water line, and he's out there cussing and carrying on. And a neighbor came over to help him. But here was a man preaching God's word, and so God was cleaning him up, you know, totally and completely. He doesn't do that anymore. But so what I'm saying is, you know, he didn't immediately become a saint. But God, because God anointed him and God sent him, there were still signs, wonders, and miracles. And you talk about Kenneth Hagin Sr. You know, he was on a deathbed, and he was dying. And he had a visitation from the Father, and God anointed him, and he raised him up off that bed, and he was a faith preacher, and he preached faith, and great signs, wonders, and miracles followed him. And I'm bringing this forth because people just say, anybody can do it. Well, the Word of God said every believer can. It does say that. But you have to also understand that you have to be walking with God to do it. You know, you have to be getting yourself cleaned up to do it. And that's why you don't see the great signs, wonders, and miracles, because there's still some parts of your life that aren't cleaned up. Now, you can walk in the satanic realm, and the devil will let you do those things too. But we want to walk in the realm of the Holy Spirit, and we want God to be working through us. All right? The whole 40 years that God had me ministering in my first things he wanted me to do, he was constantly and completely with me, and there was always signs, wonders, and miracles. And now I'm in a different stage, and I really don't know what he's wanting me to do. So I'm just doing, all right? And I know that we have to be ready to teach these young kids that are coming in, you know, and help them and bring them forth. And if we're not being taught, and if we're not doing what we're taught, then we aren't going to be able to be teachers for this new generation. And God says, there is much insight to be gleaned from my word as to what you have been placed on this earth to accomplish. As you read my word, you too shall glean from the words written down on each and every page, and you will soon understand for yourself exactly what it is that I've called you for to do. In other words, what I feel that God is saying there is, he said it is, as you read the word, and as you see what the disciples did and the other people did, then you'll understand what you are called to do, what you're really called to do, and what you have to do to reach this calling. Are you understanding that? But, you know, if you just sit and listen to somebody else teach you all the time, you're really not going to comprehend. And I'm going to tell you right now, some people aren't teaching the full gospel. They're twisting it. And some people are grabbing hold of that, and they're going out there with that, and they're messing up the body of Christ or causing a lot of confusion. So I would just assume, you know, that you would make sure. I read a lot of things. I know what's God and what isn't, don't you? You are supposed to be able to discern what is God and what isn't. So you take the good part and use that, but the bad part you don't use. You just throw that out. Isn't that right? I mean, all right, if you're going to write a book and you might throw something in there that's not of God, and I'm reading your book and I know that all this other stuff is of God, then all of a sudden I come across as, well, that's, you know, you can search your word and check it with the word. Well, this part isn't of God. I don't throw the whole book in the trash. I just don't use that part. Are you understanding this? And so what I'm saying here is that please, not everybody that you listen to is going to be giving you the full truth of the gospel. All right? There's a lot of that going on right now. Believe me, it's one thing I do is I pray continually that I never, ever twist the gospel. And this is why I think it's so wonderful when God gives me the word like this, because his word is not twisted. It's accurate. So he said, there is much insight to be gleaned from my word as to what you have been placed on this earth to accomplish. As you read my word, you too shall glean from the words written down on each and every page, and you will soon understand for yourself exactly what it is that I've called you forth to do. God said, there is such a mighty work to do with the harvest, and I need harvesters that I can send forth and bring that harvest into my house of refuge. Then he says, will you be one of the harvesters? Will you trust me to strengthen you even when you feel you can no longer stand and fight? Listen to that. Will you trust me to strengthen you even when you feel you can no longer stand and fight? I will be with you as I was with Moses, and I will send alongside of you those who will hold up your arms as you do battle for the kingdom of light. Will you trust me to strengthen you even when you feel you can no longer stand and fight? How many have been to that place in your walk with God? Right. We can all say amen to that, right? And say, God, you know, I just don't understand. I just, you know, I just need something from you to show me that I'm on the right track. Because everything that could go wrong is going wrong. You know, people are talking about you, running you down, and, you know, all kind of bad things are happening. I have to keep going back and trusting God. Amen? Because I really can't rely on man. You can't. Because they're going to pray a little bit and say, oh, well, and go on. So you have to, your first trust has to be totally and completely in God. So Exodus 17:11 says, anytime Moses, you know, they were in a battle, all right? And it says, anytime Moses held his hands in the air, the men of Israel would start winning the fight. But when Moses put his hands down, the men of Israel began to lose the fight. After some time, Moses' arm became tired, so they put a large rock under Moses for him to sit on. Then Aaron and Ur held Moses' hands in the air. Aaron was on one side of Moses and Ur was on the other side. They held his hands up like this until the sun went down. So Joshua and his men defeated the Amalekites in this battle. So how did they defeat defeat the people? By holding up the leader's hands. And, you know, if you're a leader, you know, if you have a ministry, all right, so Sister Grace is, you know, she has the flag ministry. And when we see the devil coming at her to try to defeat her, we should be holding her arms up. And how do we do that? Through prayer. We strengthen her, say, God be with her. And we send the angels to her. Sister Barbara in her glow, you know, we see that, you know, she's grown weary in something. What we need to do is we need to hold her up in prayer. Hold her arms up. You see this? And there's a whole lot of things going on out there right now. And the reason why they're failing is because nobody's praying. They're talking about. And they're not praying for them. All right? Come on. I mean, right here in this church, you know, Sister Grace, you know, God said, I want you to put the flags down for a season. And he's told me because I'm going to regroup and I'm going to... bring the flags in a different way. So now Grace and I, we're listening for God to see, okay, God, how do you want us to do this? You know. And then with Sister Astrid, God stopped Thursday night's teaching, and she's going to do the third Wednesday every month. And because I forgot what word he used, but there's something not right there. And so he's regrouping. And so it isn't that we failed God in any way. He's just trying to regroup, and I'm hearing to say revamp, and do it the way he wants it done now. You know, we were doing some of it the way we thought it was nice, and it was working, but it's not doing the job that God wanted it to do. So what do? Now we hold up Grace's arms, we hold up Astrid's arms, and we definitely hold up Barbara's arms, because in the glow is a glow. They're wonderful women, but they need to, you know how women are. They need their arms held up. All right? Are you understanding all this? Then God went on to say, after we read about Moses in the battle, he says, I never leave my chosen vessels alone. What kind of vessels? Chosen. I am always with them, and the angels have been sent on assignment to help accomplish the works I need to have you do. I never leave my chosen vessels alone. I am always with them, and the angels have been sent on assignment to help accomplish the works I need to have you do. As you read my word, you will see that when I sent the soldiers to war, the angels killed more of the enemy than the actual soldiers. I so desire to do that, to do the very same thing for my church at this given time. You need to start using the angels. I'm telling you, they really do work. When things seem to be taking you under, you need to call on the angels. Say, all right, you go and you do what you're supposed to do. Fight this battle for me, because it's way larger than I can do. I can't handle this myself. And so you're going to have to know whenever you need to call. I'm calling, hearing God say, on the reserve. And let them go to battle for you. So that God then, I'm hearing God say, so then he can re-strengthen you and bring you forth for the new battle you're going to go into. God said, there are so many things going on all over the world, and there is so little time to accomplish all that needs to be accomplished. And the biggest drawback is the lack of warriors that desire to go forth and conquer on all sides. They say they will go, but they cannot stay the course. They lack fortitude and give up at the least little bump in the road. You know, you say, well, use me, use me, use me. But then whenever something comes against you, you immediately go into your slump. And God can't use you. I know how hard this may seem, but I have already made a way for my chosen ones to win each and every battle. Be a David and go forth and fight the Goliaths in the land, knowing that your God is with you and you cannot fail, no matter what the circumstances look like or what the world has to say about the situations you are facing. Let's read that again. I know how hard this may seem, but I have already made a way for you, for my chosen ones to win. Which ones? Chosen ones to win each and every battle. Be a David and go forth to fight the Goliaths in the land, knowing that your God is with you and you cannot fail. See, how many of us really believe that God goes with us wherever we go? And how many of us really believe that God is in every battle that we're in? And because we really believe that, then we can never fail. We win every battle. All right. No matter what the circumstances look like or what the world has to say about the situations you are facing, you know that you know that you know that God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you don't know how many times I say, all right, Father, you said you'll never leave me nor forsake you. You better show up because this is really hard. And he shows up every time. Every time. Come on. God says, never draw back. Always be in the advancing mode and slay the dragons on the left and on the right and know that the angelic host are on assignment to assist you. All right, okay. Then God said, who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Yes, I gave the orders, but it was the angelic host that carried out the orders. Question from God. Have you ever given orders for something to happen and then stand back and watch the angelic host carry out those orders? No, you haven't, in all sincerity of heart, for you do not fully believe that the angelic host will work on your behalf. You know, God's been telling me for a couple of years now, I'm cleaning up your house. And, you know, and it gets worse and worse. All right? I mean, this is something you need to listen to. And sometimes I want to take the thing into my own hand because I know I can clean it up in a second. You know, but I also know that God has said, stand still. And so I just stand still, and I'm amazed at how, and God even said, you'll be amazed at how I do this. And God is truly cleaning up my house, and I'm standing in amazement at how he did this. And if I'd have stuck my 2 cents into it, it would have been messed up. But since I didn't, and I called on the angels. I said, you need to come. You need to do something because this is getting out of control. And they did. And everything, peace, it was in the house and everything. And because I did that, now God is doing his way, and it's the perfect way. I had to pay a price, though, because I had to live with all the mess, you know. But I'm God's child, right? I know he strengthens me. And I know that I have all of heaven at my advantage. And so I can go through this thing. Because God doesn't call you to go through something that you can't go through. He really doesn't. All right, so the question was, have you ever given orders for something to happen and then stand back and watch the angelic host carry out those orders? No, you haven't in all sincerity of heart, for you do not fully believe that the angelic host will work on your behalf. Question number 2, who do you think carried out the orders to give Daniel the answer to his prayers? Was it not an angel? All right, and I put down here, testimony of court papers were lost. You know, this young man came to our church for the very first time years ago, and I prophesied to him about all these wonderful things he was going to do. And then as he was getting ready to go out the door, I said, by the way, you won't have to go before the judge tomorrow. It's his first time I ever seen him. He walked through the doors. And he told me later that when he left, he told his wife, she's nuts, because I'm going to prison tomorrow. And he went to court the next day, And he walked in their court and told him who he was. And they said, what are you here for? And he told him, she said, we don't have your name on the donkey. And they searched and searched and didn't have no paperwork for him anywhere. And they said, you might as well go and go because we don't have nothing for you. That man has a church today. I made a believer out of him. But the angels come and took his papers away. There was nothing in the court docket at all that he was supposed to go to prison. Nothing. The angels did it. Lost his paperwork. All right, let's go to Daniel 2. At that time, I, Daniel, was very sad for 3 weeks. During those 3 weeks, I didn't eat any fancy food. I didn't eat any meat or drink any wine. I didn't put any oil on my head. I didn't do any of these things for 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month of the year, I was standing beside the great Tigris River. And while I was standing there, I looked up and I saw a man standing in front of me. He was wearing linen clothes. He wore a belt made of pure gold around his waist. Who was standing there? A man, he says, right? His body was like a smooth, shiny stone. His face was bright like lightning. His eyes were like flames of fire. His arms and feet were shining like polished brass. His voice was loud like a crowd of people. You know, when I read that, we always say, well, you know, Jesus, ministered to 500 at a time. We was wondering how they heard him without microphones. But here it said this angel, his voice was loud like a crowd of people. So they must have, their voices must have been very loud in those days. Then it says, I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me didn't see the vision, so he was the only one that saw the angel. But they were still afraid. They were so afraid that they ran away and hid. So I was left alone. I was watching this vision, and it made me afraid. I lost my strength. My face turned white like a dead person's face, and I was helpless. Then I heard the man in the vision talking. Who did he hear talking? The man. I listened to his voice. I fell into a deep sleep with my face on the ground. Then a hand touched me. What touched him? A hand. When that happened, I got on my hands and knees. I was so afraid that I was shaking. The man in the vision said to me, Daniel, God loves you very much. Think very carefully about the words I will speak to you. Stand up. I have been sent to you. And when he said this, I stood up. I was still shaking because I was afraid. What did the man say? I was sent to you. Then the man in the vision started talking again. He said, Daniel, do not be afraid. From the very first day you decided to get wisdom and to be humble in front of God, he has been listening to your prayers. I came to you because you have been praying. All right, so what on verse 12, what did he say? From the very first day you decided to get wisdom and be humble in front of God, until you want to get wisdom from God and become humble before God, don't expect an angel to come and talk to you from God. Isn't that what that's saying? And the angel said, God has been listening to your prayers. I came to you because you have been praying. So what else do we have to be doing? Praying. But the prince of Persia has been fighting against me for 41 days. So this was an angel, and the prince of Persia, which is a demonic angel, has been fighting against me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the most important princes, came to help me. Michael is a good angel. Came to help me because I was stuck there with the king of Persia. So he was fighting with two different demonic angels. The angel said, now I have come to you, Daniel, to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future. The vision is about a time in the future. All right, now look there. This angel says, I've been sent to you to explain to you what's going to happen in the future. So how do we know what's going to happen in the future? God sent an angel to us to speak to us, to tell us. Verse 15, while the man was talking to me, I bowed low with my face toward the ground. I could not speak. Then the one who looked like a man touched my lips. I opened my mouth and started to speak. I said to the one standing in front of me, sir, I am upset and afraid because of what I saw in the vision. I feel helpless. Sir, I am Daniel, your servant. How can I talk with you? My strength is gone and it's hard for me to breathe. Daniel's saying this to the angel. The one who looked like a man touched me again. When he touched me, I felt better. So angels there is telling me an angel has a special touch to him. What do you think happens when a healing occurs? Who do you think touches them? An angel's in the room and an angel touches them. My mother witnessed to me one time. She was sick in the hospital. She said an angel came in here and came by my bed and touched me and told me it's going to be all right. My father, whenever he was dying, he said an angel came to his window, tapped on the window, went like this. He said he was a real tall man with a white robe on it. And my father said, you just go ahead and leave. Go back to heaven. I'm not ready to die yet. So the man grinned and turned around and walked away. And my father lived for 3 more years. But that angel came to him and said, come on, it's your time. He said, but I don't want to go. See that? So he didn't take him. All right, verse 18 said, the one who looked like a man touched me again. When he touched me, I felt better. Then he said, Daniel, don't be afraid. God loves you very much. Peace be with you. Be strong now. Be strong. And when he spoke to me, I became stronger. Then I said, sir, you have given me strength. Now you can speak. So then he said, Daniel, do you know why I have come to you? Soon I must go back to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But Daniel, before I go, I must first tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one stands with me against those evil angels except Michael, the prince over your people. So he's saying here, when he goes, and the prince of Greece is going to come, and he's going to fight Daniel again. But Daniel, before I go, I must first tell you what is written in the book of truth. And then he must go on to tell that to Daniel. Then he said, no one stands with me against those evil angels except Michael. So he's saying, I have all these evil angels I'm fighting, and the only person that's helping me is Michael. Two good angels fighting against all the evil angels. All right? The prince of your people. Well, Michael's a prince over us. So every time you need an angel to fight your battle for you, as you pray and cry out to God, God is going to call an angel to himself, and he's going to tell him what he's supposed to do and send him down to assist you. You have to go back and really study this, because this scripture, it has a lot of meaning to it. So that was what Daniel what? Get back here, see where that was at. Daniel 10, 2 through 21. The problem is we don't read the word, therefore we don't know what kind of weapons we have to use. And that's why God told me one time, my people do not use all the weapons of warfare that I have given them in my word. This is why you need to read the word. Just say, I read the word 3 times in a year. Did you read it? Really understand it? I don't think you can read the Bible 3 times in a year and understand what's in it. You might just say you read it 3 times, say, well, I read through the Bible. But did you really comprehend what you was reading? Are you listening here? Bragging that you can read the Bible through in a year does not mean you know the Bible. You just read something. All right. I'm saying here, the moment Daniel began to pray, angels went into action. Yet continuous intercession was needed to cause a breakthrough. He couldn't quit praying the first day. He prayed for the 21 days. The same pattern holds true for us. Prayer moves angels, which change the world. But we must persevere. We must have fortitude. In other words, we have to keep praying. Keep meditating. Whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to do, that's what you have to keep doing. When I was first saved, I was told that when you only had to pray 1 time. If you prayed 2 times about the same thing, you were in doubt and unbelief. But that's not true. You know, we need to hold something up before. Now, I don't say, oh, God, save them. I don't do that. I thank him for what he's doing in their lives. And, you know, first of all, I pray what I need to pray. And then from that point on, I praise him and I thank him for what he's doing until I see it happen. If it doesn't happen soon enough, I say, God, the angels aren't doing their job. We need to get this thing done. He doesn't pay no attention to me, but that's what I do. You know, so you can do that. It'll be okay. He understands me, and I'm quite sure he understands you. Right? All right, so we are facing the same spiritual battle that Daniel faced. In fact, the angel of the Lord explicitly told him that the fullness of this battle would take place in the end times. Daniel was not here, but Michael, the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece, and all the other angels, both good and bad, are still here, and the battle is the same. No different, just different names. All right? You know, Gabriel's into, and Isaiah are into dinosaurs, and I ran across last night where they found a dinosaur head, you know, in North Dakota. And I just got all excited about that. And it's, I'll say 2 million years old. It's in the millions years old. I forgot what it was. But I got all excited about that. I said, see, the land's always been the same. The, you know, where North Dakota is, the dinosaurs were roaming 2 million years ago, you know. And so God just keeps repopulating and doing different things on the land. I mean, I get excited about silly little things, but... And Gabriel said, well, what are you trying to tell me? I said, I'm just trying to tell you the land never changes. You know, it's God created it, and he just does new things with it, right? And so our battles are still the same today as they were. If you read the Word, we're still fighting the same battles as they were fighting when the Bible was first written. And we, you know, they say, well, you don't talk about deliverance, and Christians can't have demons. Well, as I read the Word, all that's in the Word that they do, and you do. You know, they do have demons, and you do have to do deliverance. You do have to fast. You do have to pray, because they say, oh, if you fast, you're going to die. No, you won't. But because in the Word, even the animals fasted. You know, the family fasted. They made the animals fast, too. They have God move. So if they had to do it then, it were no different today. Just live the Bible, and your life will be good. All right, then God said, you see, little ones, all things have a purpose and all things have a season. And this is a season of the great harvest of souls. And after this great harvest of souls, my son Jesus will return to take his people on home. And then the great tribulation will take place. And when I got saved in 1977, God told me, you were living in the last days. You were a forerunner for the second coming of my son Jesus. So since 70, I know this happened before 77, but before 1977, God was working to prepare the second coming of Jesus, the way for the second coming. You, and it's still the same today, we are still preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus. When is he going to come? I don't know, and I really don't care. That's not our problem. That's God's solution. We just have to do the works that God is calling us forth to do. He also told me we were living in the days of Noah. In 1977. And then when I was first born again, I didn't know what all that stuff was. I looked it up. So the days of Noah's what? Where the world was totally corrupt except one preacher and his family, right? And he said, you're living in the days of Noah. And then he told me about how the pastors were in corrupted and leading his people astray. He told me all that kind of stuff when I was first born again. Now, If he told me all that kind of stuff, then he can tell you all that kind of stuff too. But then I know I have a special calling on my life. Each one of you know, you have to know you have a special calling on your life. And whatever that special calling is, that's how God is going to use you. So don't try to push something on people. This upsets me when I hear people say, oh, you can do it. You don't have enough faith. Now, that's discouraging people. God has you anointed for a special purpose, and that thing is going to be done no matter what happens in this world. That calling in your life will be fulfilled, period. Be encouraged this morning, knowing that in God said we have to have fortitude. In other words, we have to have the strength to go ahead and plow. No matter how hard the ground is, we have to keep plowing until God comes and does what he wants to do. All right, right now, where am I at here? Right now, God says, right now you're in the season of the great falling away. Isn't that taking place? I have been shaking my churches for a season now, and I'm in the final process of the final shaking, and then the glory drop will occur, and the harvest will be brought into my houses of refuge. If this were not so, I would not have spoken it. Why do you think you see people all disgruntled in the house of God? It's because God is working with you, and if you're not yielding to what God is doing, then God's going to shake you right out of the church. And see, a lot of Christians sitting in the house of God, they still want to be able to sin and still say they're going to go to heaven. It isn't going. It does not work that way. You have to be walking in total and complete holiness in order to go to heaven. And God's not going to call you to minister to a bunch of people if he knows that you're not going to work at getting yourself together. So you, that's your part. I mean, all right, so with Todd White, he couldn't even get high that night. But still, no, he went to a rehab. He still went to a rehab for, what, 60 days, was it? I can't remember, whatever it was. And then after he got out of the rehab, then he started working for God. So even though he couldn't get high that night, and God took all that stuff from him, he still had to do something else. All right? The host of angels have been anticipating this season of the church, and they are rejoicing and ready to do the greatest warfare ever. The enemy must be defeated at every turn for the great end, for this great end time event to take place. In other words, in your own personal life, you have to defeat the enemy. You can't let him lead you in sin in any way, shape, or form. You have to be totally right with God. All right, get this together now. God said, I am sharing my heart with whomsoever will listen. I am sharing the secrets of heaven at this given time, and I have been inviting my chosen ones to come up hither and advance in me. But there has been a hard resistance to keep my chosen ones at bay. The devil is trying to keep us from going up higher in God. He's trying to keep us from the third heaven. But God said, but this is breakthrough time. Did I not tell you to never look back, but to go forth with momentum from the heavenly realm? And I think he talked about momentum last week. Did I not tell you to never look back, but to go forth with momentum from the heavenly realm? Why cannot my church understand that the enemy is just not going to lie down and die? He is going to fight you every inch of the way, and he is going to make sure that you stay in discouragement. What a glorious day it will be when my people who are called by my name will understand the true battle and fight it, knowing that they have already won. I want you to understand this morning you're in a battle with the enemy. And he hates you. He doesn't like you in any way, shape, or form. And he's trying to stop you from tearing down his kingdom. And God says, what a glorious day it will be when my people who are called by my name will understand the true battle and fight it, knowing that they have already won. And God said, I have not given my kingdom over to the enemy. In fact, I kicked him out of my kingdom. Read that again. I have, because this is important. I have not given my kingdom over to the enemy. In fact, I kicked him out of my kingdom. Then God said, see the picture here? My word tells you that you are to do on earth as is done in heaven. I kicked the enemy out of my kingdom. Now, what are you supposed to do with the enemy? Kick him out of your kingdom just as I did. Give him no space whatsoever. Let him know who is boss and then turn your back on him. He lost, loved ones. He lost. Rejoice in that fact. He's already lost the battle. So what are you going to do? You're going to do as it was done in heaven, right? You're going to kick the devil out of your life, and you're going to make him stay out of your life. All right? Come on. Discouragement is running rampant in the body of Christ right now. I get discouraged. You know, you're battling, you're battling, you're battling. You know that the angels are with you, because if they weren't, you wouldn't even be able to battle. You'd be dead by now. But then I get discouraged. I say, God, how much longer do we have to fight? And he says, till the battle's won. So we see in the, and like he said, the battle's just, the devil's just not going to lay down and play dead. He's going to keep fighting you and discouraging you, making you believe that you're not going to win the battle. Now, I'm going to tell you that's the way it works. That's the way he fights me. But you have already won the battle. I throw that in his face all the time. Devil, you are already defeated. This is already taken care of. You can do anything you want to do to make me believe it has, isn't already taken care of. But I know that I know that I know what God told me. And I stand on what God told me. Stand on your promises. Get to go back to your prophetic words. Stand on your promises to what God has told you. And don't give this enemy any space. Don't allow him to come into your life in any way. God says, now, will you come and sit at my feet and allow me to give you the strategy you need to fight this battle and win. And so Joshua 5:13 said, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him. There's your man again. The man had a sword in his hand, and Joshua went to the man and asked, are you a friend to our people, or are you one of our enemies? The man answered, I am not an enemy. I am the commander of the Lord's army. I have just now come to you. Then Joshua bowed his face to the ground to show respect and said, I am your servant. Does my master have a command for me? The commander of the Lord's army answered, take off your sandals. The place where you're standing is holy. So Joshua obeyed him. Now Daniel said this and Joshua said this to the angels, I am your servant. They both said that to the angel. And they both asked him, does my master have a command for me? Are you listening to this? Who was, I can't remember who it was. It was a great man of God. The angel used to, he'd get awake at night and there was the angel, some sitting in the rocking chair, some sitting on the edge of his bed. And they said, we come to give you some orders. And then they would sit and talk and they would have a good time, talk and laugh, you know, and they would give his orders. I forgot who he was. But anyhow, he was a mighty man of God. Many signs, wonders, and miracles followed his ministry. Why? Because he believed in angels. He allowed angels to come and visit with him. They told jokes together according to what he said. And he got his instructions from God. All right? Now, don't conjure up angels. Let God send the angels to you. How many of you have been working in your home and you see something out of the corner of your eye walking or moving? You turn around and look and there's nothing there. The other day that happened to me quite a bit. I said, okay, angels of God, what are you doing here? And your God said, I told you I would strengthen you because I was going through a battle. But I actually could see them moving around the house or place I went, they were. The angels are here to assist you. I wish I could be like some of the people. In the days of in the Old Testament, they always say that there was a man. They all expected these angels to show up and to tell them something from God. Do you really expect the angels to come to you and tell you how to do what you're supposed to do? If you really expect that, that's going to happen to you. Are you listening? But you're going to have to believe in the angels, and they are real. I'm not trying to make you believe something. They are real, and they will show themselves to you. God has been saying for about a year now that we are going to start actually seeing the angels. But, you know, I really know that I know that I know that God wants us to believe in the angels before we actually see them. Are you listening here? Because, you know, who was doubting Thomas said, well, if I can put my hands in the hole, then I'll believe. God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to believe in the angelic army. And then once he knows that you truly believe in the very depths of your heart, then he's going to let you see them. Because it might scare you to death. You might have a heart attack and die. Amen. Come on. All right, Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 said, the gates of the city of Jericho were closed. The people in the city were afraid because the Israelites were near. No one went into the city and no one came out. Then the Lord said to Joshua, look, I will let you defeat the city of Jericho. You will defeat the king and all the fighting men in the city. Now, the Lord, that was God that spoke that to Joshua. He says, march around the city with your army once every day for 6 days. Tell 7 of the priests to carry trumpets made from the horns of male sheep and to march in front of the priests who are carrying the holy box. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times and tell the priests to blow the trumpets while they march. They will make one loud noise from the trumpets. When you hear that noise, tell all the people to begin shouting. And when you do this, the walls of the city will fall down and your people will be able to go straight into the city. He told me exactly what to do. Now, when God tells you exactly what to do, do you do it? You know, we all have to fight for those we love, right? And we have to fight for those in the house of God. And there isn't any time whenever something's been going on that whenever, and I don't know what to do about it. And so I sit down and ask God what to do. He'd give me step by step instructions on how to handle that thing. And if I follow his instructions step by step, it works. And he tells me how it's going to turn out. It turns out exactly the way he says every time. But if I don't ask him, then I'm always walking in confusion. But see, I am one that I do ask. And sometimes I just want to say, and so I'll just walk a day and I won't talk to God about it. I don't care anymore. You know, I've done all I'm going to do in this situation. And then finally I say, okay, God, what is it you want me to do? And how's it going to turn out? But you know, sometimes I get disgruntled and I just don't care anymore. I'm being honest. I fought for you and fought for you and fought for you, and you're still in your what I call stupidity. And so just go ahead. You want to go down that road, go ahead and go down. But then the Holy Spirit won't let me rest, because he needs somebody to stand in the gap. So each one of you, you know, some of you have done that too. So he needs somebody to stand in the gap, and he'll keep at you until finally you say, okay, I give in. What is it you want me to do? Then we do it, right? And it turns out exactly the way God said. And do you know, some people just cannot get themselves free. No matter how much they know in their brain or in their heart they shouldn't be doing something, this devil's stronger than they are, and he keeps forcing them to do the things they don't want to do. And if we don't stand in the gap for them, he's going to have them. He really is. And you can't look at how they hurt you or are hurting you. You can't look at how uncomfortable this is making you. You have to look at the soul of the person and know that that's a soul that is lost and they need you. Your prayers. Come on. This is very important you get a hold of this morning. Fortitude. In Joshua 5:1, so the Lord dried up the Jordan River until the Israelites finished crossing it. The kings of the Amorites living west of the Jordan River and the Canaanites living by the Mediterranean Sea heard about this and became very frightened. And after that, they were not brave enough to stand and fight against Israelites. When I read this, I just put this in myself because it was interesting. Listen to this. So the Lord dried up the Jordan River until the Israelites finished crossing it. The kings of the Amorites living west of the Jordan River and the Canaanites living by the Mediterranean Sea heard about this and became very frightened. And after that, they were not brave enough to stand and fight against the Israelites. If you guys would just stand up on your own 2 feet and start defeating the enemy, and the enemy sees God working on your behalf, and the enemy can see the angels, you know, and they see the angels fighting for you, they'll quit bothering you. They'll be afraid of you because they know that God is with you and God is sustaining you. The young man who was into witchcraft and all that kind of stuff, born into it, remember, he said that he used to astro, whatever that is, and to fight people, and then he couldn't fight them because there'd be big angels standing around about them, protecting them. And he had to go back and report to the devil, I couldn't fight them because God had his angels protecting them. See, if you would just start believing that God has that protection for you, and then start trusting that every time you get into a problem, God's already sent an angel to assist you, then the devil's going to leave you alone. He will. God says, I so desire to do the very same thing for each and every one of my chosen generation of people that he did for Joshua. Fortitude. Fortitude is the word of the hour. Fortitude to continue in the race when all have left and forsaken you. Fortitude to be there each and every time I call. Fortitude to look the enemy straight in the eye and send him running with his tail between his legs. Let's read that last paragraph. Fortitude. God said, fortitude is the word of the hour. Fortitude to continue in the race when all have left and forsaken you. Fortitude to be there each and every time I call. No matter what you're going through, God is saying, he wants you to have strength to know when he calls you. So there's another assignment that you'll have the strength to say, yes, Lord, here I am. Send me. Amen. Fortitude to look the enemy straight in the eye and send him running with his tail between his legs. Now, the word fortitude we read in the beginning, we're going to read it now. Fortitude refers to strength in the face of adversity or difficulty. Difficult things are not going to walk away from you just because. those difficult things are going to stay away from you whenever the enemy finds out he can't take you under no matter what he does to you. Are you listening? You know, and the devil's fighting me right now tooth and nail because of what God's getting ready for this church to do. And he'll come to me, he says, did your God really say? He does do that to me. Did your God really say? And I'll say, yes, you know he did. Now go and leave me alone. He tries to discourage me at every point. So what are you going to do with what he brings to you? Are you going to give in to what he says? Or are you going to believe God's word, what God has spoken over your life? I'm hearing God say that the body of Christ is in turmoil. The battle is raging. He said, my people don't know how to fight. And so they give up. And you know, each one of these messages that God gives us, we need to really hang on to them, because these are our weapons of warfare in this end time battle before Jesus comes again. Are you going? Now, let me ask you this question. Are you going to be one of those that whenever Jesus comes after his people, are you going to be left here? Are you going to be left behind to go through the tribulation? Or are you going to be one of those that's going to go ahead and go on up and say, you guys go ahead and fight. I've done my fight, and I'm going to go ahead and rest while you guys fight. Are you listening here? And you guys in here that are leaders, your pastors, or whatever, your evangelists, whatever you are, you need to have fortitude. You need to have the strength to stand up to the enemy and tell him to bow his knee to you. You have to quit allowing the enemy to defeat you at every turn. And God said the truth. My word is truth, and you need to be sending the truth to the people. They've been fed enough lies. Now the people need the truth of God's word. A lot of people are now saying, why will pastors not tell the truth? Why will they not tell the people that there's demons? Why will they not talk about angels? What are they afraid of? And I would like to know what they're afraid of too, because if you're called of God, you shouldn't be afraid of anything. I'm surprised the amount of people sitting about it, especially in this church. You sit here in fear. I'd like to get a long whip and smack you a good one with it. Fear is not of God. And if you're walking in fear, God cannot bless you because you're not trusting and believing in him. I don't go around bragging about what God does to me. I don't have to. And I don't walk in fear either. I get very upset, don't you, with when the enemy comes over and over and over again fighting you, trying to make you bow your knee to him. I get upset. How ignorant is he? He's so dumb. And I can't believe people serve a dumb whatever he is. I have seen him personally. My kids are saying, is the devil handsome? He really is. He has long blonde hair and he has blue eyes. He's very handsome. I've seen him personally 3 times, but also saw him each time turned into a serpent, too, and crawl away in his belly because he knew he couldn't defeat me. You know, I saw the devil was coming after me because I had a soul he wanted, and he was coming after me, and he said, I'm going to kill you, and God put a glass between him and I, and I turned around and said, ha-ha, you can't touch me. You know, he can't touch me. You know, he can come. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. So there's going to be weapons, right? You know, but they can't prosper. They, you know, okay, so God told me just recently that God now, and the devil now wants to snuff out my life. He can do anything he wants, but he can't snuff out my life. You know, because God's not going to allow that. So he's going to continue to come to you, and the closer you get to God and in this glory drop, And the greater your anointing is, the more you're going to have demonic activity around you, because the devil's trying to take you out. Now, the rest of you in here, you have to understand, too, that God is with you also. And God is for you and not against you. I have found out, you know, God said obedience. He wants obedience. And God was teaching me something the other day, and he said, whenever I say I want obedience, he said, everybody thinks they have to be obedient to me. He said, but I also require obedience All right, so I'm your pastor, and if I ask you to do something and you do something different than what I ask you to do, you're in disobedience, and you're in disobedience to God because God is the one who told me to do what I ask you to do. Are you understanding this? I didn't until the other day. He sat me down, and he really explained all that thing to me. So you have to be obedient to the ones that God has placed over you, and you have to make sure that you're where God wants you to be so that the ones over you are not taking you down a side road that God does not want you to go down. Amen. So how many of you have fortitude, strength to go on and do the things that God's called you forth to do? And God's saying some of you are going to go under the gun real quick here, real soon. And he says, what are you going to do when you get under the gun? Are you going to be able to make it through? Are you going to have the strength it takes to go through, to keep trusting God, even whenever it looks like God isn't going to show up? He said he's going to be a last-minute God. In other words, you're really going to have to walk by faith and not by sight. And he's not going to show up to the very last second. So you dare not in any way, shape, or form give in to the circumstances around about you. You have to keep trusting and believing that God, he might show up the last second, but he's going to show up. Right. Now that's straight from God for you this morning. Now, do you understand this? God's saying that we're in a death throes with the devil right now. He has to kill us. He can't just injure us. He has to kill us in order for him to win. So, are you going to allow him to kill you? No, you're not. You're going to stand your ground because, see, we already know that we've won. And don't give him one space, not one inch. And God said, as you practice what you preach, and as you go forth in total commitment to God, God is going to work strong on your behalf, and you're going to see great signs, wonders, and miracles. He said, first of all, in your own life, and then in your family, and then it's going to venture out into the world. But he wants you to be able to say, this is what my God did for me first. I serve a miracle working God like Todd White. This is what God did to me. Now this is what I'm going to do for God. And it's through me. This is what God wants to do to you. Fortitude. Strength. Today is the hour that we need to stand tall, stand strong and firm, knowing that God is in our corner and that we can't lose because we have the total victory. Amen. Well, Father God, I thank you and I praise you for all that you've done here this morning. I thank you for strengthening us, Father God. I just thank you for it. I praise you for it. I'm hearing God say that like lightning, he wants to descend upon his people. Just give an hour. He wants to come into your very countenance in a way that all will know that you have stood in the very presence of the Almighty God. And so if you want that, if you want that lightning to come through you, God, just come to the altar this morning.